You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. You have to admit, plus it rhymes. How do you give that any blowback? The answer? You don't. Happy June, man. Yeah, how about that? Already in June. That means the year's almost half over. And All Marine Radio, as of tomorrow, starts its third year of existence. So happy birthday to All Marine Radio. Who knew? Who knew? Our birthday. The birthday show on Monday. I don't know what the hell we'll do for the birthday show, but yeah. Happy birthday to us. Good Friday morning to you. It's my house. Yeah. Anyway, good morning to you. Hope wherever you are, whatever you're doing, that your thoughts are focused on the weekend. A friend of mine wrote me a very angry email last night, and a friend of his was killed as a police officer, battle buddy, and how would I describe it? Well, I don't think I need to describe it. When you have friends like that and somebody kills them, I think it brings back all of your thoughts and feelings from being with them together, wherever you fought. And there's a way that we handle that stuff. We go and find them and we kill them. And so he expressed that sentiment, but you know, losing one life is enough. No need to compound that by losing another person who gets involved in something that the police ought to handle. and then destroys their own life. Now, I say that from experience. I say that from experience. And I'll leave it at that on a Friday. Okay? But I say that from experience. And while I understand the sentiment, and I've been there, and it's black and white when you feel it. Don't destroy your own life. Don't destroy your own life. Now, I don't know that I would have accepted that advice from me when I was going through that. Within the first probably couple days after the event happened. But I don't know how many hours went by when, you know, and I was married at the time. And, you know, you look at your little kids and you know in your heart of hearts that would I damage their lives? Would I do something so foolish, even though I feel that that's what I should do? Would I do something so foolish that I would destroy their lives or significantly impact their lives like that? And the answer I knew in my heart was no, I would never do that. But it doesn't help your anger. It doesn't help. And anger is not the right word for it, because it doesn't encompass the feeling. Anyway, just wanted to mention that. Somebody sent me an email asking me what you don't seem to be talking as much about the news and about politics. You know, I think you can only do that for so much. And then either you get so callous to it that you could sit and talk about it every day, but if I think if, and it's kind of fitting that talking about this on the day after Memorial Day proper, which is May 31st. But, you know, when you've seen the blood sacrifice for this country, it's not a theoretical event for you. You know, you look at politicians and you think, and you look at them and say, you know, you have a job to do here. You have a function in this democracy. And your function is to pass budgets, to do things for the American people. You know, and when you look around and you look at the state of the United States and you look at the state of our trade imbalances with different countries, that all costs. So who does that make sense to? You know, where does that make sense? And those are things I don't understand. As I, you know, and I'm nobody's dope. I understand economics or economics as it's pronounced in the United States. I get that. So how does it make sense that we would have a $350 billion deficit with China? I mean, who does that make sense to? And why would we do that? And then, you know, when you look around our trade deficits with different countries, and it's like, okay, so why are we doing that? And who thinks that those who thinks that that's a good deal? Okay, and I know there's an argument about, you know, pros and cons of a trade deficit, blah 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 blah. So is there a balance point for a more developed nation? And then you look at budgets not being passed, and so to me, I mean, all that, you can only take so much of that. You can only take so much of that. And I can only take so much about that before, I mean, it genuinely, you know, irritates me. It bothers me. and you see the same actors doing the same stuff over and over and over again, and it's just a shitty show. Except it's not a show. Unless you're rich, unless that's how you make your living in Washington, D.C. As a, you know, I went there as a congressman. I'm now a millionaire, you know, so I'm part of the theater that goes on every day. That's bullshit. But that's where we are as a country. So if you're looking for an explanation, I cherry pick the news now. I can't do the daily. And, I mean, there's some things as I said, Trey Gowdy, you know, I think that it always interests me when people seemingly tell the truth. And to me, I made the comment, Trey Gowdy is the kind of guy that you want to run for president. At least I do. Probably too smart to do that. And, you know, that's why he doesn't do it, is because he is a smart guy, so he doesn't do it. And I don't know. It's just the daily drama of the nation's capital. And like I said, how much can you watch of the Roseanne thing and all the rest of that stupid shit on TV? I mean, I think most people that are smart, you know, you click it off. So anyway, I do on a kind of a follow up from yesterday. Are we doomed? What changes all of this? What changes the process that gave us a choice between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump? What changes that? Yeah, give me a set of events. Yeah, that's an interesting essay question for all you students out there. What changes in terms of a series of events that that changes the dynamics so that we don't get that choice anymore? That we get a choice of people that are... we get a better choice, you know? To me, nations don't change unless something catastrophic happens to them. And that's normally the trajectory of nations. And so, to me, the solution lies in campaign finance reform, that your Congress and my Congress, that they won't go near. And that the Supreme Court is struck down, and that corporations are considered individuals in terms of campaign contributions. What? I'm on the same footing as Merck? Nice. Nice. So anyway, I don't know. I hate to preach the gospel of gloom and doom, but I don't. You look at Washington D.C. and you see occasionally you see honorable people trying to do, you think, the right thing. But I think the vast majority, it's a tsunami of crap back there. And it's doubled down by by the media. It's doubled down by the media. And they do nothing but make it worse in pursuit of their own profit. And they drive so much of it. You look at the President of the United States, he's all over. I mean, that's how he gets the news. I don't know that he's much of a reader. He's a watcher. And he interacts with it. And the players that he hired are part of it. John Bolton. Where did John Bolton go, by the way? You know? John Bolton, the last we saw of him, thank God, was his saying, yeah, the Libya model is the model for, the Libya model is the model for North Korea. Like, are you kidding me? And then it was, no, it was the Libya model of 2003, not 2010, when they drug him out of a pipe and they beat him till he died. Dude, you're dumber than a bag of hammers. You went on national TV when we're trying to negotiate something very delicate, and the probability says that it's not going to work. But you know, we still owe it our due diligence. Yes, yes, we do. Do we need guys with bad mustaches like John Bolton on TV talking about the Libyan model? No, not only no, but hell no. It one team, one fight, man. Oh, yeah, and to Nancy Pelosi and the rest of the shitheads that say, oh, the president, you know, he's not calling out Trump, Kim for being a dictator, but he's trying to make a deal with him. Shut up. Can she go away fast enough? And Chuck Schumer, God almighty, man. You understand? Schumer, it's hilarious. Schumer, I was watching the news a couple weeks ago. Schumer was against the Iran nuclear deal, right? So Trump cancels it, and Schumer blasts him for canceling it. And then they show a videotape of Schumer blasting the deal when Obama signed it. And you're watching it going, what? Do you forget that there's archives with things you say in it? And then they put both pieces of video on, and you're just like, good God, man. So... anyway, I don't know. It's just like you watch it, and again, I contrast this, and you see the blood sacrifice, right? You see the blood sacrifice. You see, I was asked. I tell a story. I'm doing my radio show in, I don't know, some probably between 2007 and 2010, where I lived up in North Dakota. Mack Talk, yeah. Mack Talk won a national award, by the way. Yeah, boom, bitches. So anyway, I'm doing Mack Talk, and I get a phone call. Good morning, you're on Mack Talk. Hey, Matt, do you know you're in Rolling Stone this month? Like, huh? Hold on, I'll grab the magazine here. I know it's around here someplace. I'd have to find the page it was on, which would be difficult. So it's Rolling Stone's end of the year magazine, and they have quotes in there. And, I was asked by a reporter from the Associated Press. It's actually a funny story. I got elected to my city council when I was in Iraq in 2006 in Fallujah. So it turns out, I mean, it becomes a national story. So, actually, and I'll tie it into Haditha. Yeah, like what? Yeah. So anyway, I don't know that you're not supposed to. If you're a reservist, you're not allowed to run for public office while you're on active duty. I didn't know that. So I had long thought after watching our city council. I thought, you know what? I can contribute to that. I have leadership qualities. I've done stuff in my life. I'd like to help out, you know, kind of continue my service to the nation, except, it'd be locally in the form of, serving on an elected body. So, I mean, I had that. And so while I'm in Iraq, my city councilman in my ward in Grand Forks, North Dakota, he announces that he's not going to run for re-election. So I read that in the paper, and I think, okay, well, there it is. Old Mac going to run for election. So Larry Nicholson, who's a lieutenant general now, he was this commanding officer of the 5th Marine Regiment. And so I walked in, and I said, hey, sir. I never thought to ask the SJA, like, could I do it? Like, I'd never seen, like, any prohibition. Not that I'd ever been much of a reservist, because I never had been to a drill or anything in my life, you know. I was out of the Marine Corps. Dave Furness and Paul Kennedy called me and said, hey, are you still in the Marine Corps? Because we're going to Iraq, and we'd like to have you with, you know, go with us. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't think I am. And I wasn't, so I had to get reappointed. So by the time I got reappointed, the march up was over, but they were going back. So they said, don't touch anything, you're coming to us. So I never was with a reserve unit. I got mobilized to be with the 1st Marine. I was a by name request out of the IRR, which is the inactive reserve. So they yanked me out of that. I get attached to the division for a year. I come home. I demobilize. I'm done with the Marine Corps. Okay. Nicholson calls me 8 months later and says, I want you to go back to Iraq with me. We're going to Fallujah, and I need blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, I'll go. So I go. Still, I've never done a drill in my life. I get mobilized. I'm with the 5th Marine Regiment. I go. I come back. I demobilize, blah, blah, blah. So I didn't know anything really about the reserves. And so, anyway, so I walk in and ask Nicholson, do you care if I run for, put my name in to run, and that way when I go back, I can serve as a city councilman? He said, no. He said, I think that's awesome. He said, I think that'd be great, Mac. So, so I put my name in, and my family campaigns. And if I had any free time, I'd go down to the phone bank and I'd call people. My family, my wife sent me a kind of a matrix, and we were in this block, and I had phone numbers from the block. And I'd call up and I'd say, hey, I'm Mike McNamara. Like, you'd get people to say, aren't you in Iraq? Yeah. You're calling me from Iraq. This is no shit. This is phone calls. Yeah. Hey, look, man, just for calling me from Iraq, I'll vote for you. And, hell, I've never got a phone call from, you know, past Minnesota, let alone Iraq. And, people were really nice, obviously. And, so I get elected and, I get an email from on election night, and I worked at nights, right? My job was to run the Combat Operations Center for the 5th Marine Regiment, and we did a lot of special things at night with special people, with special assets at night, and that's why General Nicholson wanted me to go with him. So he said, I need an adult to do this at night because we're going to whack a lot of people at night. And so I said, oh, sounds like a good time. So I go. So now I put my name in, and it's like the guy from the Associated Press sends me an email. He said, I don't think this has ever happened in history. And he said, it could have never happened until, right, the advent of the Internet, right? Because there had been no way you could communicate it or done any of this kind of stuff, you know, before. Well, I didn't realize, like, it was prohibited by the UCMJ. So I don't know if it was prohibited by the UCMJ. It was prohibited by Marine DOD instruction or some shit like that. So he says, I don't think this has ever happened. I'm like, whoa, that's cool. That's cool. Mac's a part of history. So, he says, hey, in the middle during the night, and so we're in the middle of trying to kill people, and it's busy stuff, right? You have soft units in doing stuff. You have Marine Quick Reaction Forces standing by in case they need help. You have Iraqis kind of moved away from stuff, and so you have their advisors, you know, on another phone line in case you need help from them. So it's your basic four ring shit show, except it's bullets instead of animals. So he emails me and says, it looks like you're going to win, in a landslide, man. I said, what, are you shocked? No, I didn't say that. I just said, he said, do you think we could do an interview? And I said, nah, I'm in the middle of about 4 different raids right now. I can't do it. And so I finish, I go to sleep. I come back in the morning, I come back the next night, and I walk in, and the Marines stand up and they all hum hail to the chief, right? I walk in and they're like, and they have this picture of me. They have this, like 4 days before this, some Marine says, hey, sir, we don't have a picture of you. he was from Combat Camera. And I said, why do you need a picture of me? You don't have a picture of anybody. Like, no, 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 the CEO's got kind of a wall. He's got everybody's picture, and he's got their data. He needs a picture of you. It's all a big lie, right? And I was like, all right. So we go out in the hallway. I stand against this wall. He takes my picture. So they took the picture, and then they put, like, they made a poster out of it. And I have it here in my office. It says Major Michael McNamara, hometown hero. It has, like, the city's seal in the back and the picture of me. And I'm like, you know what? A sucker's born every minute. And so it's pretty funny. They got a big kick out of it. And I was like, I was doing my political wave. Thank you, thank you, thank you very much. I sat down. I know it's a long-winded story, but it's kind of funny. I sat down to my computer, and I'm getting ready to start work, blah, 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 blah. We do the changeover. And I start my computer, and I have, like, close to 1,000 emails in my what's called Nipper, which is your unclassified line. And I look, and the computer, like, the email programs, it won't stop, right? And I said, I look at the tech guy, who's the tech guys in the COC, which were constantly there. And I said, hey, can you look at my computer? Something's wrong with it. Something spammed my inbox. And so I go back to working, and he's working on it. And after, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes, he looks at me and he says, so there's nothing wrong with nothing wrong with the email folder. He said, those are all emails. I said, what are you talking about? Well, the guy in the Associated Press, he writes a story, links it to a local story. The local story had my email, my civilian email address in it. And, my .mil civilian Nipper email address. I don't know why they put it in there, but, you know. So I have like 1,000 or more emails in there. And that was its own. That was its own interesting little piece. Anyway, so the Haditha thing comes in. It is the summer, it's June of 2006. The Haditha thing hit the news wire in April, I think. And it was the number one, like on Early Bird, every day, Haditha, Haditha, Haditha. You know, Marine Corps news, Haditha. Well, this is the first story. You know, Marine Reservist gets elected from Iraq. This is the first story that knocks Haditha off the most read list. And it's a good story, except I'm not supposed to do it. So the PAO comes down and says, hey, Mac, ABC wants to interview you. I'm like, I don't really have any interest in that. Like, my hometown, is it from my hometown? And he's like, no, Good Morning America. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do that. And they're like, well, we'd like you to do it. I said, why? And he said, it's the first story that has knocked Haditha off the, you know, and it's a great story. It's a Marine who wants to continue to serve. Well, you know, I read your comments the other day. You just want to continue to serve, right? I'm like, yeah, it's my hometown. It's like, why wouldn't I? So anyway, I do all these morning shows, right, over the course of like 4 days, right? And I get up, and it's the middle of the night for me, right, when they're doing it in Washington. So I'm like squinting into the sun like a mole because it's outside. It's like bullshit. Anyway, so one of the questions in one of the interviews that I got asked was, you know, why would you do this? And I said, if you could see what I've seen here, and in my deployment to Ramadi in 2004, you see America's young people, the best and brightest we have, and you see what they do every day. It makes you want to give more. If you're a reservist, you demobilize and you go home. And then you get home and it's like, what else can I do? And I said, so in a certain way, the blood sacrifice here makes democracy holy. It sanctifies it for guys like us. And so I'll take, so that's the quote, that some version of that. appeared in Rolling Stone. And so this is a very long way of taking you back to the start about why can't you watch the news and why don't you do a political, why haven't you done as much political commentary in the last month? When you've seen that, when Memorial Day isn't theoretical, when it's real, when you go to Camp Pendleton and you know, for the dedication of the Vietnam War Memorial at the 5th Marine Regiment, and you go to the Operation Iraqi Freedom and the Operation Enduring Freedom, and there's names on the wall, and you can tell the story of how this guy died, and 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 how this guy, you know, died three times before he finally succumbed to his injuries, and how this guy died, and you, because you know them, to watch the shit in Washington, D.C., it's nauseating. It's gut-wrenching, you know? And it's so frustrating because it's like, if you could behave with half the courage and selflessness, not even half, 10% of the courage and selflessness that I've seen 19-year-old young Americans behave with, this country would have no issues. This country would have no issues. All you have to do is you know, 5% of it. So, very, very long-winded, circuitous way of answering that question. Why don't? And that's the other thing is, then you put that in the closet. Those vivid experiences you try to put in the closet. And that's what my friends deal with. All of a sudden, somebody kills one of your friends. And what comes back? What feelings come back? The feelings you have at a memorial service for somebody that was killed in combat, if you haven't already found who did it and killed them. Because that's what happens. We're going to go find who did this. We're going to kill them. We're going to kill everybody that has anything to do with them. We're going to kill them. And you can't bring them back, but that's how you do it. And so when you go to the memorial service, you can at least stand there and feel that. So, anywho, I'm not sure how we got there. Yo, trade deficits. Yeah, things like budgets and trade deficits. How does a $350 billion trade deficit make sense with China? So that I can buy my toilet paper cheaper? Come on, man, that's bullshit. How does, and I was laying in bed, I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning. How does giving Iran all this money with a deal that doesn't prohibit it from getting nuclear weapons, just delay it, and then you watch as Iran runs amok in the Middle East? But we're not going to connect those two issues. What kind of shithead Ivy League bullshit world is that? Because if you're a mechanic and you sat down with the map and somebody said, okay, tell me what you think about this deal. We're going to cut a deal. We're going to drop the sanctions. So Europe is really honest about being able to do business with Iran, which is they estimate at $500 billion a year business they forego, and they really want to get in there. And we have businesses that want to too, but we're not so much worried about that. Okay, so here's the deal. The deal is this deal won't stop them from getting a nuclear weapon. We'll unfreeze their assets and give them all this cash back. What do you think of that deal? Like, where it doesn't stop those guys who've done this in Iraq, you know, are doing this, and this is years ago. Their footprint in southern Lebanon, their footprint in Syria, their footprint everywhere they go. So those people we're gonna trust that are gonna do what? And we're gonna delay it 10 years? Like, are we stupid? It's just stupid. It's as stupid could be. And let me tell you who leads it. The freeloading Germans lead it. Okay, because they don't care about security. How do I know that? Because they don't even have an army. Everything with the Germans now is, And I'll tell you what, you think it would change if Germany got ruled and occupied by the Russians again? Hello? After another 80 years go by and the Germans were free, they might create an army. Yeah, that whole pacifist thing, that only worked if you have a big brother that will kick everybody else's ass and allow that to happen. It doesn't really work in the real world. So, anyway, I just, you look at this stuff, and, you know, I guess you have to be an Ivy Leaguer to understand how this really works. You have to be somebody who's bent on globalism to understand how a $350 billion trade deficit works. So, again, here's country by country trade deficit. More than, listen to this. This is the top five trades deficit. China, $375 billion. Canada, $18 billion deficit. Mexico, $71 billion deficit. Japan, $69 billion deficit. Germany, $65 billion deficit. Okay, let's just say we cut every one of those in half. There's 35, 35, 35. So that's 100. That's over $1 trillion. No, that's over $100 billion, $109 billion, and then let's another 200. That's almost $500 trillion if we just cut them in half. That's our goal, just to cut those in half. Okay, so that's the top five. Why is that a good idea? And you know who pays for it? American workers pay for it. So you can get your tires for like $5 cheaper. Yeah, screw. Again, I don't like how. And the people in charge of this country, this is good for them. They think this is good. So anyway, I struggle to talk about politics because I think the people involved in it are dishonorable people. We take the same oath for them. It's just a photo op. Okay. They don't believe in it. It doesn't mean something to them. And so. Sucks. Anyway, on a different note, we're going to change. I'll get to a lighter place. But if you want to know why, that's why. Whitney Houston sings the national anthem, something I look forward to every week and have for a long time. Good morning to you. personal reasons, I'm happy to report that that the piece of shit that shot and killed a former Marine who fought in Fallujah was captured here within the last couple hours. The Tennessee Bureau of Investigations has tweeted a photo of Stephen Joshua Wiggins, 31. Appearing disheveled and with ripped clothing hanging out of the back of a police cruiser. He was arrested today after a manhunt that was launched on Wednesday when Dickinson County Sheriff Sergeant Daniel Baker was killed after responding to a call about a suspicious car. The deputy's vehicle was eventually tracked by GPS to a wooded area about 3 miles away. Deputy Baker was dead inside the vehicle. He's a Marine reservist. Fought in Fallujah, and so this is dedicated to Officer Baker and all the guys he fought with. There's nothing that brings him back. The only thing that you can do is put your arms around his family, and by your conduct and your continued support, show them how much you gave a shit about him. So, this is dedicated to them.
America, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear, as hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's awesome. Can you imagine? Were you a Vietnam veteran and you came home and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Friday, time to check the weather. Stand by. We're updating. Mostly cloudy and 76 in Quantico. Sunny and 82 at Camp Lejeune. Going to be hot. That's right. It's what it's famous for. Hot, humid, bugs. That's what I hated about the East Coast. So many bugs. Really? Do we really need all these bugs? The answer to that is no, we don't. Yeah. Just disgusting. The East Coast. Yeah. Granbury, Texas. Partly cloudy in 83. Big Timber, Montana's cooled off. Clouds in 54. 29 Palms is cooled off. Sunny in 66. 29 Palms, man. Beautiful weather out there these days. Camp Pendleton, clouds in 62, Okinawa. The home of the bumblebee people. Yeah, in Okinawa, they have these people that do maintenance on the base, and they're all wrapped up. It's like 110 degrees, humid as hell, and they're all wrapped up. They got these bonnets on, and their arms are up. And then when they stop and take a break, what do they drink? Hot tea. Yeah, never understood that. The bumblebee people in Okinawa. Dark at 99 degrees. Huh? How could it be dark when at 99? I don't know. Normally, don't you need the sun to get to 99? Yeah. I thought that's how it happened, but evidently that's not the case. At the home of Auburn Radio, it's sunny. And 61 degrees. Beautiful. Today, looking for a high of 72. Sunny and 76 tomorrow. And sunny and 78 on Sunday. Yeah. That is a check of the weather. Well, I haven't even looked at Marine Corps headlines this morning. So, it's Friday. Come on. Cut me a break. So, we'll go ahead and do that. And then the chef will join us here. So, Top Gun sequel starts filming at NAS North Island. Oh, my God. Just what we needed, right? If you didn't think that pilots had memorized one movie and that was enough, now we're going to do the second movie. So, yeah, we got that to look forward to. Why China still encourages contacts with the U.S. military despite exclusion from major naval exercises. Why do you think? They're still learning. And who better to learn from than your enemy? Who better to learn from than your enemy? Another story. The VA is not broken. Outgoing Deputy Secretary downplays department's leadership turmoil. Well, if the VA is not broken, like the shit show that we've seen, come on, man. Thomas Bowman said he has confidence in incoming leadership team at the Department of Veterans Affairs, even if he isn't going to be part of it. The country and veterans need not be concerned that they'll be appropriately taken care of, Bowman, the VA deputy secretary, said in his last public appearance on Friday before his retirement later this month. VA is strong as an institution. The change in leadership is natural. It's moving forward. The VA of today is going to change, and the VA of 5 years from now is going to change. All right. The VA's top ranks have undergone significant changes in the last 3 months since President Trump fired VA Secretary David Shulkin over via Twitter following months of internal policy fights with the White House political appointees. That move should have made Bowman the department's top acting official, the capstone of a long public service career focused on veterans policies. Bowman has served as VA Chief of Staff twice before and as majority staff director of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. But, similar to Shulkin, Bowman was seen by political rivals within the administration as an opponent to their policy goals, and Trump opted to bypass him to appoint Robert Wilkie as the acting secretary instead. The move irritated veterans groups and prompted a lawsuit from advocates who insist it violated the Federal Vacancies Reform Act. I love this stuff. After Wilkie was named as the next permanent secretary nominee and VA Chief of Staff Peter O'Rourke was elevated to the acting secretary over Bowman, the 71-year-old Marine Corps veteran announced his retirement. After his speech, Bowman said, "Now is the right time for me to retire." 71, man, come on, take your pension. And go home. We need to have, especially in Congress, okay? Let's cap it at what, 70, 75? Come on. 85. Dianne Feinstein's 84. She's running. Come on. She has to get briefed in the morning. Okay, your name is Dianne Feinstein, remember? What? Well, where's the doggies? Like, oh my God. Yeah, I mean, come on. When you're 84, you got a lot of stuff going on, and you're gonna we have more of those old people now than we ever have in our existence. Good God! All right, so that's Marine Corps Times. The top five stories in the early bird today. Before we do a little cooking programming, number one, Pentagon says U.S. can now take down man-made islands like those in the South China Sea. This was an interesting comment. This is an interesting comment yesterday in a briefing by Marine Corps Lieutenant General. What's his first name? Last name is McKenzie. And so what are we talking about? We're talking about amphibious capability. Shit, our amphibs can hardly get to sea. They'd be dead in the water halfway to... I'm just joking. But I'm not joking very much. They are constantly, you know, being maintained because they're broken. Okay, so this was the exchange at a briefing at the Pentagon. Amid heightened tensions between China and the U.S. military in the South China Sea, a Pentagon official on Thursday said the military has experienced taking down small islands. Quote, now this is in reference to the South China Sea. I would just tell you that the United States military has had a lot of experience in the Western Pacific taking down small islands, Marine Corps Lieutenant General Kenneth McKenzie said in response to reporters asking about whether the U.S. has the ability to blow apart China's controversial man-made islands. McKenzie, the Pentagon's top joint staff director, added later in the briefing, when he was asked to clarify the comment, he said, quote, we have a lot of experience in the Second World War taking down small islands that are isolated. That's a core competency of the U.S. military that we've done before. You shouldn't read anything more into that than a simple statement of historical fact. Right. Nobody's going to read anything. What? Yeah. Anyway. Look, this whole thing, and it was interesting, when you listen to Grant Newsham yesterday, it's like the Chinese do this shit, and then they want to act like they didn't do anything. Right? Like, they give you the nothing to see here. What? Even though, I mean, you heard, I think, audio from Secretary Mattis. I don't know if you saw it, but he said, yeah, the Chinese pledged in 2015 that they weren't going to militarize the island. What have they done? They've militarized the island. So, anyway, that little nugget, that little nugget for the Chinese yesterday. Hey, and bottom line, it is just a historical fact, folks. No need to get upset. It's just a statement of fact. Number two story. Some of the oldest F-35s on the globe are forced to sit and wait for upgrades. Damn it. We hate when that happens. Number three. Even our new aircraft. You know, it's one thing when the old aircraft can't get maintained. Now the new ones can't get maintained. Yee-boo-yee. Three, U.S. defense sector braces for Trump tariff fallout. So there you have it. The Trump administration's announcement that it will impose tariffs on steel and aluminum imports from Europe, Mexico, and Canada may hurt America's defense sector and imperil domestic jobs, some analysts warn. You know what? Most of the time, they're wrong. Number four, stunning failures found in global train and equip counterterrorism program. As billions of U.S. taxpayer dollars continue to flow into projects aimed at increasing counterterrorism capabilities for countries from Jordan to the Philippines and Romania, a new government watchdog report raises questions about how effectively the Pentagon and the State Department are overseeing those projects. Okay, Karnak says, we're giving them weapons and other stuff, and they're selling them and making money off it. Since it began bankrolling the train and equip program in 2006, training weapons and other supplies for local forces via hundreds of projects around the world, according to the GAO, Government Accounting Office, the Pentagon continues to struggle with the task of ensuring the right gear goes to these indigenous forces and that such projects are sustainable. Of 21 global training equip projects undertaken since 2016 and 2017, just 8 resulted in improved capabilities for the local forces. What do you mean just 8? That's probably better than we've done in the past. Yeah, just suffice to say, we don't do this very well. Right? God only knows where that money winds up. God only knows. So that's a story. Number five, China will send a team to minimize conflict at regional security talks, according to sources. Now, I played a couple speeches out of this last year, and Secretary Mattis is headed for this. I think it's called the Shangri-La Dialogue or something like that. The Shangri-La Dialogue, which runs from Friday today to Sunday, is an annual security summit for Asia, attended by defense ministers and other officials from more than 50 countries, including China, the U.S., Australia, Japan, India, France, Vietnam, and the Philippines. This year's agenda is expected to be dominated by the South China Sea disputes and the North Korean nuclear crisis. En route to the city-state, U.S. Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis said America would continue to maintain a steady drumbeat of naval operations around the disputed waters, adding that only one country seemed bothered by the vessel's routine activities. Quote, we are going out of our way to cooperate with Pacific nations. That's the way we do business in the world. But we are also going to confront what we believe is out of step with international law, out of step with international tribunals that have spoken on the issue. Mattis is set to deliver a speech on Saturday entitled U.S. Leadership and the Challenges of the Indo-Pacific Security. You'll hear that next week. The dialogue comes amid rising criticism from the U.S. and its allies of Beijing's actions in the South China Sea, and in particular, its deployment of advanced weapons and aircraft, including its nuclear-capable H-6K strategic bombers. So here's the Chinese part of it. Despite the likely tone of the talks, which the Chinese have anticipated will be largely anti-Chinese, the Chinese delegation in Singapore will be headed not by a military policymaker, but by He Li, a lieutenant general and vice president of the Academy of Military Sciences, in a move designed to shape the summit as an academic exchange rather than a policy debate. That's like so communist, it's stupid. Yeah, it's so communist. It's stupid, and the communists are incredible. It's like nothing to see here. That's not a rocket. It just looks like one. The Russians. We didn't shoot down a civilian airliner. What? Huh? What are you talking about? We didn't. Nothing to see here. Okay, we're just trying to get to the wreckage. Yeah, you can't go there. Why? It's unsafe. Can we go to the sea that supposedly chemical weapons dropped on? No, you can't go there. It's not safe. The communists, man. They're just jackasses. All right. So that going on. And then let me go. Let me go down to policies. I'm telling you, there's some really interesting stuff in this commentary and analysis section. Russia's military doctrine of deception and deniability. They did it relative to the Crimea, where they went in and their forces that take off their any rank insignia and begin operating. Create something destabilized. Right. I'm not sure what's going on in here right now. And then Russia has to intervene to quell the uprising that their own forces have started. And then they say that that's why we had to act. And those weren't our forces, by the way. Well, what about those trucks with all those markings? Shut up! Don't look at that. All right. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, the head chef will join us here on a Friday edition. So don't touch that dial. The show will get better. But it is frustrating. Why don't you look at the news? Because the country deserves better. It's the greatest country in the world that's being driven into a ditch by a bunch of idiots. And they're on both sides of the party spectrum, and they include independents. And the sad part is how do you make that well again? How do you change the system? And nothing that'll change the system would be anything that they would embrace, because it would be the loss of our two-party system that controls billions and billions and billions of dollars. And so it's about money, it's about power, it's pretty disgusting. But that's our country. That's our country. And we look to leadership, to the nation's capital. And it's just, it ain't there. Text message, great, Top Gun 2, just what we need, more half-naked guys playing sweaty volleyball. Yeah, I'm with you, man. And you know it's there, it's going to be in there. They've got to promote. But see, now, I wonder if they're going to include drone operators, those doofuses, because they're not like that. paunchy, wear glasses, right? Video game dorks. Maybe they'll play. Maybe the fighter pilots will play the video game dorks, right? And they'll be like bouncing it off their forehead. Poof! Boom! Off their forehead. Oh, what do you mean? The kid starts crying, right? The therapist is sitting on the sideline. Are you okay, Pumpkin? Are you okay, Pumpkin? Come on! Try really hard and beat these homoerotic kind of guys over here! Did you say they're fighter pilots? Yeah, they say they're fighter pilots. We're drone pilots! We can do it! No, the homoerotic fighter pilots normally win this game. It's a movie, for God's sake. It's not real. What do you mean it's not real? Tom Cruise was never a fighter pilot? No, that was a movie. That was all pretend. Damn it! I hate when this happens. I get so confused about this movie stuff. But don't you think we can beat him? No, it's a movie. It's all staged. Okay, well, get out there and take it like a man, you big baby. Don't call me a baby. That hurts my feelings. Well, quit being a baby. For God's sakes. We're hummingbirds. Have some pride. Take it off the beak.
I think my nose is broken.
Shut up and quit being a baby.
Oh, my God. Anyway. All right. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.